This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Anyway, keep
saying. Hey, you look like a guy I know that lives in southern Alexandria.
Nope.
But anyway, that's good though. Do you look or whatever?
Some of my business.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with 7-5 Radio. I am in an undisclosed location at this time. The location will be anonymous. I'm standing with the person who organized this group of patriots right here in the DMV, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia. How you doing, sir?
Real good. Oh, good. How can I help you?
Tell us why you had this group out here with patriots within the District of Columbia.
Well, this group is an outreach group. Can I mention the city and state without the actual location?
Sure.
But we're in Fairfax, Virginia. This is an outreach type program tonight. I called it the Freedom Festival, and it's sponsored by All Virginian Pro America. And we've brought in 7 speakers. 2 were from international. 3 were from the surrounding area that were notably high-level people. And I have to say we've had 3, totaling 8. We've had 3 Virginia State delegates come who are running for the Virginia delegate positions in Richmond. And we started at 3:00 with the national anthem by an opera singer, Latrician. We had the American, we had a prayer by Sri Lanka Pala do the American prayer. We had the Pledge of Allegiance by Jeffrey Dove Jr., who is running for state delegate. A silent prayer for Alice Butler Short, who is the most phenomenal person I've ever met. And then we started with our speakers. We ended, and then 20 minutes later, we started with live music, a band named 5x5. And then after that band, part of the after party, Freedom Festival, all of its freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, freedom of assembly. Virginia is starting to lose a lot of that. So we had a second band named Chump Change who's playing right now. And everybody's been coming and just enjoying their freedoms. So I wanted to do something from the people, for the people. This is not a political event by any political side. It's by me, Ed Huebner, a human being that loves America and loves freedom.
Outstanding, Ed. But once again, folks, we are in the foothills of the District of Columbia. And we don't want to give out location because we don't want Antifa or BLM to come out here and attack us, but they're probably raising hell in Northwest. But Ed, real quick, I want to thank you. After we're done, I want to talk to you
Absolutely.
A little bit further. What's going on?
Absolutely.
But anyways, so I'll see you.
Can
inside.
I make one more comment?
Go right ahead, Ed.
Every single individual in the United States of America, we were all born perfect. We were born with goodwill, and to get back to being perfect and having goodwill, we needed good nurturing. And some people haven't been nurtured very well through their lives. So when you turn 18, 19, 20, you have a chance to kind of set your own direction, set your own life. And every single American in our country, we have beyond religious differences, because it's freedom of religion, beyond language differences, beyond any kind of differences that might traditionally set up walls by our establishment politicians on both sides, I did things today that every human being in the United States of America, in their hearts, breaking through all of the barriers, love and believe in, and freedom and love of family and freedom of choice, freedom of highest level of education, being in safety with law and order. All of these things every American believes in and cuts through the walls. So I encourage everybody to do the same. We all love each other. Let's prove it. Let's get back to reality. Let's get back to what has made America great. And you have to take one step or two steps more this year in 2021 than you did in 2020. I respect the 70% silent majority. I respect you. You don't have to come out like me and talk about it. But please, if you're on social media, please like and share other people that are willing to talk about it, and let that be your commitment and your activity. You don't have to talk about it, but share it. We need that now in American history more than ever. And I thank you. God bless you. I love you all. Ed Huebner here. Take over.
Thank you very much, Ed. Once again, I will be inside as soon as we're done in about another 45 minutes.
Yeah,
very good. Yep. No, we're still live, but I'll, like, once again, I'll be inside.
No, that's not it out. Yeah.
No, we're live. Anyways, once again, we are on disclosed location in Fairfax, Virginia with Patriots. I'm not going to say where because we won't have Black Lives Matter attacking us. But anyways, that was an impromptu interview with Ed Huebner, just Patriot. But anyways, second order of business, actually, first order of business is that we want to read the names of members of the law enforcement community murdered in line of duty. Fortunately, we have no names to read off. Stay safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. Well, how are we doing today?
Oh, doing pretty good, my man. You're always out there in the field. I mean, you know, you really sound like you know what you're doing out there.
Well, no, I don't. But you know, the saying is, "Fake it till you make it." But anyways, we got one hell of a show. Didn't plan on having the organizer of this event at this undisclosed location come on, but hey, this is live radio. But secondly, we have no members of the law enforcement community murdered in the line of duty. But I am still very, very upset and angry, but I'm not going to use any the seven words we can't say on television, but I'll try hard. But anyways, you already know what the premise is. White cop fatally shoots an unarmed person of color, and these people lose their mind. And I'm just getting sick of it because we see it every single week, and whether it be justified or not. But anyways, coming up, we're going to be talking a whole lot of law enforcement and issues going on. We are live at an undisclosed location. Follow us at 75radio.org, 75radio.org. We'll be right back, folks. We're just getting warmed up.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
We are back. I'm not on Twitter. I'm at an undisclosed location in Fairfax, Virginia, live. It is April 17th, 2021. Anyways, getting back. Y'all know the story. White cop. Person of color. Doing something they shouldn't be doing. And person does not comply. So, we all know what happens then. When they don't comply and they resist arrest and they bring up the level of force necessary. So then what happens? What else? Local garbage comes out and raises hell. They burn things. They say F the police, fight the cops, so on and so forth. And I'm frankly sick of it. But this is SOP. Whenever an unarmed black man dies during the interaction with police, Minneapolis, New York, Baltimore, Ferguson, Missouri, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and now Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. They come out in droves, riot, race hell, fight with the cops, burn, kill, so on and so forth. All of us are no justice, no peace. And wave a sign that says Black Lives Matter, but we'll talk about that later. But these murders were shot by other black men. You would not hear a damn thing. The rates on black killings is 100 times greater than deaths under police custody. Anyways, for the record, more people die at the hands of police who happen to be white than non-white, but you know, facts don't matter. But anyways, as we're talking about these interaction of black men and white cops, a black man was murdered on Facebook Live back in St. Louis, Missouri, as the city was experiencing a riot during the protests of over the death of St. George of Minneapolis. You could say there was some police involvement, as a 77-year-old black man was retired from not one but two law enforcement agencies. And you know his name is David Dorm. And the media said nothing. Fox News barely mentioned it. Meanwhile, St. George of Minneapolis got three funerals, wall-to-wall coverage, and members of the Houston Police Department were standing in formation saluting the casket of St. George. Meanwhile, Chief Dorm got coverage on Facebook Live. Anyways, at the death of St. George, Eric Gardner and company, we heard how great they were, and they were assets of the community, and they loved their kids, and they loved their mamas. But, you know, David Dorn loved his wife, his kids, his grandkids. Rafael Ramos and Ken Style loved their kids too. Wen Jin Lu loved his wife. But what makes me mad as hell is that the black community takes no responsibility for its actions whatsoever. We hear about this white police, black suspect or black citizen going about his business, but the black community takes no responsibility for his actions. You got lack of fathers, shooting, dope dealings, generations on welfare, unclean neighborhoods, unsafe neighborhoods. The list is absolutely endless. Just think, in the city of Baltimore rioted over the death of a dope dealer that died at his own hands. Freddie Gray decided he wanted to have an injury and get out of jail, but guess what? He died at his own hands. What did the city of Baltimore do? Burned the city down. Anywhere else, they'd say, hey, dope dealer kill himself. Hooray, let's have a party. Thank you, police. And these savages burned down a CVS pharmacy in West Baltimore that the elderly people use to get their much-needed medicine, and the local residences had someplace to get milk, cereal, diapers, canned food, and other staples because there's no grocery stores in these neighborhoods. Why? Because of the people in these neighborhoods. But anyways, these people want to they always want to blame cops for everything. Meanwhile, they say nothing about what's going on in the neighborhoods. But another question, where's mom and dad before the son became a household name? When are these people going to take responsibilities? I mean, who else is sick of this? Walt, what say you about this subject?
Well, you know, I hate to keep turning, referring to, a black-white thing, black-white-brown thing, black-white-brown-yellow thing, and so on and so forth. The statistics are, factual. The black community does not, I should say the BLM black community, does not recognize African-American men and women as police officers. They call them white. They call them, they call them traitors. So, when there's a black-white shooting, a cop being white, it's an astronomical thing. Now, this has been going on for 150 years. Going back to the Wild West, and now when you have a black police officer shoot a black person or a person of color and they die, you don't hear anything about it. Charlie Manson tried to start a race war in 1969 with those murders in California. Well, 50 years later, and he succeeded in, because it's happening now.
Exactly. If Charlie just waited to the 80s, guess what? He would have sat back. He should have became a correspondent instead of a mass murderer. Because, again, the dumpster fire that is CNN and MSNBC, they're putting gasoline on the problem. And, I'm just sick of it, Walt. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just it's got me just upset all week. Please go ahead.
Man, you're entitled to be upset. We're all entitled to be upset.
When's it going to end?
It's not going to end. It's not going to end in my lifetime. And I probably got maybe 25 good years left, and it's not going to end in my lifetime.
I wouldn't push it that far.
God willing, God willing.
I'm just kidding. You have
too many variables, too many chefs stirring the soup, so to speak. All right, you got a guy that called the black community jungle. He used the kicker word how many times in his speech about not having his kids going to school with those people. Now you have, a female in the second office who is not black. People insist that she is black. She's Indian, not American Indian, and Jamaican. So, it's got nothing to do with me. They are fueling the fires. This is exactly what the left side is looking for. You have you seen Nancy Pelosi out there? or Chuck Schumer out there in the past 2 months? No, you haven't, because the menu that they set is being eaten up by their left wingers. You can't win, you can't lose. It's what it is. We're going to have more killings, black on white killings, brown on white, brown on brown, black on brown. It's not going to stop. It's not. You have people taking chances with the police. Literally taking chances with police. And the police are falling for it. If you pull somebody over and he's being a dick and he wants to drive off, let him go. Let him go. If he wants to jump out of his car and run, let him go. You know, you have his car. You have this. Throw the ego away. Throw the ego away. It's horrible that the police are falling for this. Now, what I'm doing is blaming the training.
Oh, yeah.
What I'm doing is blaming the training. And not training from my day. I'm blaming the training of today, because I talked to a number of cops. And they're younger. They have less experience. They're getting younger and younger. There's no college. There's no military. Not much of it anyway. And they're told they're in charge out there, and they don't know how to be in charge.
Right. Well, we're just getting warmed up. When we come back, we'll talk about Black Lives Matter making millions off of dead black men. Also, the incident in Minnesota. And why isn't law enforcement calling 705 radio? But stay tuned, everybody. We're just getting warmed up.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC says that about half of all American adults have received at least one dose of COVID vaccine. New data shows that more than 128 million people have received at least one shot, with more than 82 million people fully vaccinated. But despite those numbers, cases are still on the rise in many parts of the country. More than 20 states have reported a rise of at least 10% in new cases over the last week. Jody Guest is a professor and vice chair of the Department of Epidemiology at Emory University and tells CBS News that the rise can be attributed to spreading variants of the virus as well as pandemic fatigue.
I think at this point in time, we see the variants are a huge part of it, and not enough people are being vaccinated, although certainly those numbers are growing every single day, which is fantastic. But we also see people are really tired, and people have, don't want to wear their masks out in public anymore. They want to get back to what life felt like before COVID-19.
This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Hey there, friends. It's John and Chelsea Jubilee.
And today we have a message for you women out there. Are you premenopausal, postmenopausal, or maybe you're in the middle of menopause right now?
Ouch.
Listen, we have thousands of clients that have reported reversing all of their symptoms of menopause. Or maybe you have thyroid imbalances. Same thing for those women. Listen, this is your time.
Absolutely. You can reverse all of those symptoms and you can be your real joyful, exuberant, and lean self again. Ladies, I don't care if 6 doctors told you you can't lose that fat after menopause or in menopause. You can. We have done it hundreds and hundreds of times, even in a medical setting documented. So make your action call today. Log on to EnergizeHealth.com, EnergizeHealth.com,
or call 888-444-8895. That's 888-444-8895.
Millions of people across the globe watched as Britain's Prince Philip was laid to rest at Windsor Castle Saturday in a small ceremony due to the pandemic. Wendy King reports.
The Duke of Edinburgh's coffin was taken from the private chapel at Windsor Castle to nearby St. George's Chapel. Members of the royal family walked in a procession after the coffin. Queen Elizabeth II, who was married to Prince Philip for more than 73 years, rode behind the coffin in a vehicle along with her lady-in-waiting. Prince Philip died April 9th at the age of 99 at Windsor Castle after spending weeks at a London hospital for an infection and an unspecified heart procedure. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
A minute of silence in honor of Philip was observed across the UK just before the funeral began. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back and we are live. It is Saturday night, April 17th, 2021. I am at a function in Fairfax, Virginia. Location will be undisclosed because I don't want to be attacked. Thank you very much. Anyways, moving right along. We all heard that Black Lives Matter makes millions. I'm talking millions of dollars. Not millions of hits on YouTube, not millions of hits on anything, but millions of dollars off of dead black men. You heard me right? Black Lives Matter makes millions of dollars off of dead black men. Y'all heard about what happened in Los Angeles when, what's her name? Patrice Conculos bought not one, not two, but three, not, correction, four homes. She has four homes. One of them is a $1.4 million home in Topeka Hills in Los Angeles suburb in Los Angeles County. And guess what? It's nowhere near Englewood. It's nowhere near Compton. It's nowhere near Watts. It's among white people. You go, girl. Also, co-founder Tamika Mallory was in a commercial for Cadillac. Cadillac makes the Escalade SUV, which can cost from $77,000 to over $100,000. Meanwhile, black household median income is around $59,000. You go, girl. I guess she couldn't be seen driving around on a Toyota. But anyways, Black Lives Matter has raised $90 million in 2020 alone. 1 year, $90 million. But Black Lives Matter has done absolutely nothing for black people. No schools, no community centers, no housing, no doctors, no playgrounds, no grocery stores, no food pantries, no money for those behind in rent, electric bills, telephone bills, despite the fact we have a pandemic and people in the service industry are really, really hurting. And guess who fills these service industry jobs? People of color. Anyways, no job training and no jobs unless you are an accountant for Black Lives Matter. Anyways, Black Lives Matter comes to a city where a white cop shoots a black man and starts a whole bunch of stuff before all the facts are disclosed, as there is an active investigation. In Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, literally they were protesting while the body was still being processed at the crime scene. So stores get looted, things get burned, police and civilians get assaulted, or worse. Remember Dallas, Texas? Five officers were killed while working a Black Lives Matter protest in the streets of Dallas, Texas. Black Lives Matter is at the forefront with a grieving parent, as well as Al Sharpton and Benjamin Crump, the Al Sharpton of lawyers. But after the body is buried and justice starts to take its course and the cameras are turned off, guess what? Black Lives Matter is gone. They're out of there. But the families of these people that were died at the hands of in police custody, such as the families of Mike Brown, Freddie Gray, Eric Garner, got nothing from these people. And anyways, what's worse is that the people who go to these rallies with Black Lives Matter merchandise and signs and whatnot, when they get violent, get stupid, and play stupid games and win stupid prizes, Black Lives Matter will not bail them out because they're too busy buying homes.
You got a better chance of Kamala Chameleon bailing them out than Black Lives Matter.
Exactly. But anyways, to Black Lives Matter, you're just a useful idiot. You go out there, act a fool. They get money from rich people, and these people do absolutely nothing for society, and they should be investigated under RICO statute or fraud. But Black Lives Matter was absolutely nowhere when Randolph Holder was shot and killed. He is the Black Lives Matter and Democrats' dream come true. He's an immigrant from Africa, black as the ace of spades. But unfortunately, Holder was a member of New York's finest. But you know who remember Randolph Holder? Liberty News Radio. But anyways, the left, nothing. Same thing with children caught in the crossfire. These kids in these inner cities get nothing when they are victims of a stray bullet. But guess what? We remember them, and you know, and we want them to. We want these kids to grow up, you know, despite your color of skin, because guess what? They're just innocent. But anyways, look for Black Lives Matter to move to a snobby suburb near you. They're not going to be moving near me or Walter because we just don't live in that nice of a neighborhood. Walt, what do you got for these people?
They're not going to move to near me. They still have, what do you call it, bubble wallets in the trees. You know, and that's unfortunate, you know, in this day and age. But yeah, there's a group here. They're white supremacists. I'm not part of it. They're about 15 to 20 miles from here. They do not take kindly to anybody but white. And that's their problem, because there's a lot of black people that don't take to anybody but themselves. You know, so you know, it can go both ways. You can look at it. I've said this once. I've said it a thousand times. I cannot walk down the street in a black neighborhood and expect to come out unscathed. I can't. I'll be challenged, and I'm going to get hurt. A white lady cannot do that either without getting hit, beat, robbed, raped, beaten. But you can take black man, black lady walk through a white neighborhood, ain't nothing going to happen to him. It's not the fear. It's what the, I'm going to say, the animal instinct of some people. And, you know, there's animals that are white and there's animals that are brown and black and orange and green and yellow and purple. My point is that we are racially divided. Mr. Obama has succeeded. And that's hard to swallow, very hard to swallow. And, you know, you don't hear anything out of his mouth the past 2 or 3 months, not since Creepy Joe took over. Thank you, Mr. Obama, for nothing. That's it.
Right. But anyways, Walt, what gets me is that, you know, with everything going on with law enforcement, you know, we read the names off every single week. I've been doing this since December of 2014 with Detective Lou and Ramos. But, you know, we do this week in, week out. And, you know, when I'm on the political cesspool, we never intended to become, you know, what 75 Radio is. But again, Sean Berger brought us attention. We're like, holy crap. And through the years, we said, you know what? There is a war on cops, and we documented week after week after week after week, and we brought Jim Lancey on the political cesspool since he's a retired cop from Bridgeport, Connecticut, and he's seen things, done things, and he has a different aspect on law enforcement. We brought you on just as a guest from the 7-5, but then again, your experiences and your knowledge and your insight is like, you know what? We got to make him a member of the Libby News Radio family. And then we came out with the shows. We first started with Red 42 with Jim Lance. Yeah, he decided to part ways and do his own thing. Then we started 7-5 Radio. And again, we had Jim Lance on. We had Mikey Guerin, who worked for Texas Bureau of Narcotics, and he was a deputy in his township. But anyways, and we've been talking about this week in and week out, but you know, we should have about 100,000 cops following us on social media and listen every single week, but we don't. You know why? Well, obviously, you know, you're past incidents, but you know, you paid the price, but you and Michael Dowd tell cops, you know, don't fall into the trap. And also, you have stories of where you guys took care of business. Also, Jim Lance, yeah, he tells it like it is. He didn't sit there and play basketball with the kids and shake his ass with doing the nay nay or whatever. And he demanded respect in the street from the street garbage. You know, my story, I worked during the Giuliani administration, which I call the golden era of the NYPD. And I always raise the Bravo Zero flag. And we talk about Mike Guerin. you know, he's what happens when DAs and politicians throw cops under the bus. I mean, he had an incident, use of force incident during Rodney King incident, time, and then, you know, it almost like he was about to make a bad decision, but luckily, he didn't. Also, we tell the truth. I mean, we had to retract absolutely nothing because we backed things up with something called facts and experience. And, you know, and this is something we love and we're not going to stop. Also, cops are probably afraid to look at guys like us for the simple fact, A, we're dinosaurs. Secondly, you know, they're afraid that the department's going to look at their internet browser and saw they looked at 75 radio and so on and so forth. But anyways, we're still going to be here for you. But when we come back, I want to talk about this incident in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota that started it all. We are at 75radio.org. Stay with us. We're almost done.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Once again, Scoop is live at an undisclosed location in Fairfax County with some patriots. I'm not too worried about getting attacked by Black Lives Matter or Antifa because they're probably turning up Northwest Washington, D.C. But anyways, I want to talk about what happened in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota last Sunday that caused this big brouhaha. What happened was Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Porter was part of a traffic stop where one Dante Wright was driving on expired tags or dead tags and had a little tree air freshener ornament hanging from his rear view mirror. I have almost the exact same one in my car, but it's not in the rear view mirror. I got fuzzy dice. But anyways, turns out they ran him and he had an active warrant. Ooh, you know, and then surprise. So they're going to bring him in because there's a local warrant. So they take him out of the car and he wants to buck. So him and I believe two or three other officers are trying to restrain him and he gets in the car fighting with the cops. And then Officer Porter decided that she's going to use non-lethal force. I say non-lethal force because she said, she yelled taser, taser, taser. And then with her dominant hand pulled out her service weapon and discharged a round. And then afterwards, they're like, oh, that was a gunshot. Meanwhile, Mr. Wright started driving away where he subsequently crashed his car and died. It was obviously an accident because I've used the taser also. I was issued a taser when I worked for another agency, and you're supposed to put it in your non-dominant or weak hand. And every time you start work and take a taser from the armory or wherever they keep the tasers at your job, you're supposed to do a test, taser, 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 and make sure it works. And then it's supposed to be holstered on your non-dominant side. While this lady used her service weapon, I don't know. You know, let the courts figure it out. But anyways, that's what happened. I blame a couple things. I blame the cops for not securing the suspect. I also blame this lady for killing this man who did not deserve to die. And I also blame training because obviously using a taser is a big weight difference. Taser weighs less than a pound and her service weapon weighed approximately 3.4 pounds. Well, what say you about this incident?
Again, you know, there's a lot of variables here and I'm not going to try to analyze it too much. I'm just going to try to scratch the surface. All right. From what I understand, that this female officer has 26 years experience. First of all, if you and two other cops can't subdue a man, a young man, then it was time to retire 6 years ago.
Right.
Okay. Now, with the taser, I think Dan Bongino and horrible Geraldo Rivera, they might get in the boxing room over this because you have Geraldo shooting his mouth off and he says, I've reported on stuff like this all my life, but he was never a cop. You know, reporting it secondhand, third hand, fifth hand does not make him, you know, perfect at this. And Bongino told him, hey, listen, you know, NYPD, Secret Service, you know, I know what I'm talking about. You can't put your service revolver in your non-shooting hand, you know, on your non-shooting side. You know, the purple gravit, the handle's facing the wrong way.
Right.
But this woman should not have drawn anything with, you got two cops rolling around on the ground with this guy, and she's going to tase him. You know, taser is like maybe from 8 feet away, and he's standing there, and he won't subdue this man. And, well, she shot him.
Right.
Basically,
right.
She shot him. Her excuse is, you know, she thought it was the taser. You know, come on, please. You know, she's going to lose a pension over this, over a freaking car stop for a license plate, you know.
For a misdemeanor warrant.
I've said this over and over and over again. You know, there are tougher guys out there to go after, period. Like you said, the kid didn't deserve to die. And, you know, it happens. It happens. It's happened before social media. It's happened before television was invented. It happens before radio was invented. This is not anything new. Cops killing private citizens. And the only people that have been bringing up the sense of the color issue is, you know, people of color.
The average media.
Them too, because they want the ratings. They don't want to get rocks and bottles and shit thrown at them when, you know, when they're out in the street. You know, that's why they don't do that.
So. Exactly. And then, like, speaking of which, yesterday they had a protest in Northwest D.C. I stress Northwest D.C. because you had Black Lives Matter and also these idiot white people protesting who know nothing about, you know, what goes on in the inner city, unlike yourself and myself. And I know, so like, oh, they have it in right in the beautiful part of North in D.C., which is nice, clean, safe, well lit. Meanwhile, you got places like Anacostia, Congress Heights, Berry Farms, Benning Road, and a whole bunch of other places in the east side of town. They would not dare to go, even on a bed, even during the daylight. But, you know, it is what it is. But anyways, you know, it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. But anyways, that's why we keep telling everybody, be safe out there. And for God's sakes, keep wearing your seatbelt. But you bring up a good point, the Dan Bongino, Geraldo thing. Geraldo kept saying, I'm friends with cops. I have dinner with cops, you know, this and other thing. We've heard this a million other times from other people, like Sean Hannity, Andrew Wilkow, all these people who know nothing about law enforcement. I mean, well, Geraldo probably did have a meal or dinner with cops, but it's probably inspectors or chiefs, but or politicians. But you know, Geraldo's been talking out his ass for about 40 years. But thank you, Dan Bongino, for setting Geraldo straight and making great television. But anyways, the next day he said he was very tired and just had a very short fuse. But it needed to be said because, you know, Geraldo, the first thing he did is bring up the race aspect. Nothing about the tactics, nothing about what the officer should or should have not done. Or like you said, just let the guy go. He was a local. He's going to get picked up. You know, he's going to get picked up again.
You know, when I was in NSU, it was probably like my first or second day in NSU. There was an old hairbag sergeant, okay, that was, you know, he was the NSU supervisor. Okay, NSU 18. It was out of the 113 precinct in Rochdale, South Jamaica, Queens. Now, he said nobody has been known to be as fast to outrun a radio.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And the guy's not going to get away. If he's hiding, all you got to do is follow the barking dogs, you know, because dogs bark.
Right.
You know, and, you know, for what you said, a misdemeanor warrant, you know, come on, please. You know, right. I could see, if you shot somebody's grandma or shot the liquor store owner or shot a cop or something, you know, I could see them, you know, mowing him down because you got to put down, usually got to put down an animal if he's not going to put himself down. So, nobody can outrun a radio.
Right.
Nobody.
Another thing about Mr. Wright was that, you know, he was a father. He was mama's boy. This and everything. But his Instagram showed him with an unlicensed, unregistered handgun. And him being only 20 years old, he shouldn't have that handgun in the first place, even if it was a register to him, which it should not be. And they showed him with money and all. You know, the typical thing you see on the social media with these young wannabes. You know, they got the money, they got the guns, they got this, that, and other thing. But he was no angel. But should he die for what happened? No. But my thing is, if he didn't die last Sunday, more likely than not, he was going to do something that he would be die. He would pass away later in life. But again, he should not have died. But what we got our last 2 minutes before I enjoy some adult beverages?
Well, the dirt track racing season is underway. On a lighter note. The track season is underway, and the schedule is out. All you got to do is just go to Mike Guerin's Facebook page, and you'll get the dates and the venues for the season right through the end of September. So I plan to go to at least two of them this year and say hello to our friends on the dirt track circuit.
Right, and one thing about dirt track racing versus any of the other sports that you pay hundreds of dollars to attend,
nobody, and I mean nobody, takes a knee for that national anthem or for that flag. And the part about our driver, Jeff Jackson, was when he took that flag around that track during the national anthem. I mean, it gave me goosebumps. I said, Jeff, I'm more proud of you doing that than winning the Daytona. But anyways, well, we got another one of the books. I'm about to enjoy a couple adult beverages. Follow us, ladies and gentlemen. We are at 75radio.org, 75radio.org. For Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Skoopstad. Remind everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week.
Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.